Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Our website is filled with more encouraging interviews, all accessible at myfaithradio.com.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every Saturday morning, hey, we're here, and we're doing life together with you, and we're so glad that you've joined us this Saturday.
That's right, Dr. Mental. Great to be with you again this Saturday
morning. You call me Dr. Mental. It's so formal.
Hello, Dr. Mental. Would you prefer just Linda?
Or Dr. Linda.
Dr. Linda.
Yeah.
Okay.
You usually call me that, so I didn't know if there was something. See, I have that shrink tendency where I'm kind of wondering, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Next Saturday, tune in, and I'll say Dr. Linda.
Okay, there you go.
Of course, we invite you to be a part of the show and join the conversation through social media at Dr. Linda's My Faith Radio page, where you can leave a question, comment, or answer the social media question for the week. Dr. Linda's Facebook page is Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and her Twitter is at Dr. Linda Helps. And of course, her website is drlindamental.com. And Dr. Linda, today's show is going to be convicting, to say the least.
Ah, maybe. Or maybe you'll just get a little bit of insight into the way you do a certain behavior. We won't say what it is yet. So we are going to talk about something that everybody probably experiences who's listening. We went out and we actually asked our listeners. Now, listen to this, Chris. Have you ever said this? Why did I just eat that? I wasn't hungry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every day.
Well, we ask people that because what we want to do today is we want to look at our relationship with food and something that we call mindless eating.
Right.
We all do it, and then we feel bad, and we feel guilty, and we're upset when we do it.
And as we begin the summer season and think about losing a few pounds, I know you wrote about this in two books, Press Pause Before You Eat and your bestseller, Lose It for Life.
I did, because most of us need to really change our relationship with food if we're going to really lose weight. And I know, you know, losing weight is always on the mind of, I think, every single person. We're always trying to just drop that extra couple of pounds,
right,
that extra 5 pounds. And what we need to learn to do is to be much more intentional about our eating. So, Chris, how would you have answered that question? Why did I just eat that? I wasn't hungry.
I don't know. And this is probably a popular response that we'll see in the social media, but it's just pure boredom.
Yeah. So, see, you don't think about that. See, that's
right.
The issue is that we do it mindlessly.
Mm-hmm.
We just eat for all kinds of reasons, and we're going to go into what those reasons are. In fact, boredom, that was Clark's number one that he had written down and sent to us. Annette says, for me, it's if I become too sedentary. So that's kind of interesting.
True.
She said,
yeah.
I grew up always having a project by the sofa. So something like knitting, crocheting, and I grabbed it as soon as I sat down. I find that without a project, suddenly I'm hungry.
Now, I like what Bruce says. I don't quite understand it. Maybe you can dig into this. Bruce says it's a lack of an effective mind.
I'm not sure what that means either, but maybe he's thinking about he's not being intentional in his mind, and he's not thinking about what he's doing. Sherry says that her number one is temporary unhappiness. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you're simply just not in a good mood, you do tend to say, hey, I'm a little hungry.
You could reach for food as a way to kind of make you feel better. Although it's interesting because sometimes when people get really unhappy, they don't eat.
True.
So it might have to do with the level of stress. Sometimes people eat when they're very upset. They go to the food to try to calm down or to feel a little bit better. Other people don't eat at all when they're upset.
What about generalized anxiety?
That is one of the reasons that a number of people eat. When you're anxious, again, you have to look at what purpose does food serve. And one of the purposes is it can be like medication. Mm-hmm. It can be calming. You think about it, food doesn't ever talk back to you.
Right.
It's always available. It really is good. It's pleasurable to eat. I mean, eating tastes good.
Right.
And it feels good, and it hits parts of the brain that make you feel better. So in some ways, when you're upset and you're not feeling well, you can go to food as a way to boost your feeling.
Is it the same thing people do with cigarettes and alcohol?
It can be. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into that a little bit later in terms of, is it actually addicting? Because a couple of people said a few things about that. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But I think it's so important, as we're talking about this today, for everyone to just to think about, when you eat something and you're not hungry, what's going on with that? What we're hoping we can do with you today is help you to be a little bit more of an intentional eater. So stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, so have you ever thought to yourself, why did I just eat that? I wasn't even hungry.
Well, most of the time it would probably be while I'm watching TV, I'll have to be eating something. Or if I come out of the gym, even though I'm not hungry, I have to like force myself to eat something because I know I have to eat it.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
To take the conflict style quiz, click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
Have you ever thought to yourself, why did I just eat that? I wasn't even hungry.
Yeah, I do it all the time. I'm kind of a boring person, so I eat out of boredom all the time.
And welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about mindless eating. Have you ever said, why did I just eat that? I wasn't hungry. And Chris, we just heard somebody say that he's a boring person.
He's boring.
Usually we eat out of boredom. Right. I don't know if it's because we're boring people, but Matt, is that one of your issues? We'll get our producer over here into the conversation.
Well, I'm not ready to admit I'm a boring person just yet. But I can relate to that. You know, with having a Netflix account, you know, sometimes you'll just sit down and start watching something, and before you know it, I'm in the fridge looking for something to eat. It's almost like something clicks in your head when you're not doing something. And as a person that's always trying to do something, sometimes food is that thing you're doing when you're not doing anything.
You bring up a great point about Netflix, because you can hit pause and go to the fridge and come back.
Yeah.
Where traditionally on TV,
you miss something.
At least have to wait.
Yeah, we have to wait until the commercials.
Minutes,
but you know what? That's really great that you brought that up, because here's the thing about that, is that we get conditioned to eating based on doing certain things. So we get reinforced. We reinforce that connection. That's why I always tell people, when you're driving in your car, do not eat when you're driving the car, because that's one of the really big places for mindless eating. You think of the mom, you know, with the van and the kids, and we're stopping and we're getting food, and you end up ordering fries and these big drinks and eating things that you should. And then afterwards, you feel so guilty and you think, why did I do that? And it's been one of those things where it's just been a conditioned response. You go, you grab the food, you're in a hurry, you get it, you eat. I think a lot of that happens with television as well, where we're used to just sitting down. It's the cue, get that big bowl of popcorn, get that big bowl of ice cream, whatever it is, and sit and eat while you're entertaining yourself.
We do live in such a rushed and hurried world, and we don't have time a lot of times to go home and eat what we should. So you do get a lot of fast food.
You do. And that's one of the problems, because that isn't highly nutritious food. It's got a lot of empty calories and a lot of fat and sugar calories in it. And you're going to feel hungry later because of that. So one of the things, when we're thinking about mindless eating, we have to remember it's not based on real hunger. And one of the things I used to teach my patients when they were trying to lose weight, people that are dealing with obesity, I would teach them, pay attention to the cues in your body. Are you really hungry, or are you just eating from emotional reasons? And so hunger involves things like your stomach starts to gurgle a little bit if you had that. Mm-hmm. You start to feel a little lightheaded when you're hungry. You know, your blood sugar is dropping.
You get grouchy.
You get grouchy. Yeah. Irritable. Yes. Irritability is one of the signs. That doesn't happen when you're just eating emotionally.
Right.
You just get an idea in your head and you're craving something. You know, for me, it used to be those Cinnabons in the mall.
Oh,
when I would shop, I'd smell those and I would be like, oh, I mean, that is not physical hunger. That's emotional hunger. So if you can figure out the difference between what your body is feeling and what your mind is saying, that's a big plus.
It's amazing how your mind and body work together, because you may physically not be hungry, but then, like you said, you smell the cinnamon bun in the mall, but then all of a sudden you hey, I'm hungry.
There's all kinds of these subtle cues for eating more than you want to eat. One of them is smell. One of them, it's fun. This was a section in one of my books, and there's a researcher at Cornell who does a lot on this topic, and he talks about environmental cues that make you want to eat. In a plate, if you use a really big plate and you put just a little bit of food on it, you might feel hungrier because you think you didn't eat very much, but if you took that same amount of food and you put it on a very small plate, your mind would think, oh, I've eaten a lot and I'm satisfied and I'm full.
Eating must be very visual. David says from social media, TV ads make him feel hungry.
Well, no, they do. It's a cue. It's one of those environmental cues. And one of the tips that I use with people are trying to lose weight is I say, DVR your program, run through those commercials and don't watch them. Or just get up and get out of the room when those commercials come on, because they do trigger you to want to eat. And, you know, there's other things like music. Have you ever thought about it?
No.
If you go into a restaurant that has kind of low lighting and soft music, you eat slower, you enjoy the meal. Mm-hmm. But if you think about when you go into a lot of fast food restaurants, the music is fast, the lighting is bright.
That's true.
That's to get you to eat more.
Wow.
So these kinds of cues are real, and they actually do trigger you to want to eat more.
Is it true that when you see food ads and signs, many of them are yellow and red? They say that's enticing.
Really? I've not. Mm-hmm. Now, that was not something I looked at in my book. So I don't really know if color. I know color can affect your mood.
Yeah.
I know that like orange is kind of an angry color and blue can calm you down.
There's a synesthesia that goes on there.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. That's something I would have to look up. But
well, on your way home today, when you see
in
the
my
red
spare
sign,
time. Does it mean I'll stop and think there's a stop sign? Does it make me want to stop eating, or does it make me want to eat?
Right.
Well, our struggles with food and eating and dieting, they really don't have a lot to do either with Chris of us knowing what we're supposed to eat. Because most of us, think about it. We know if I sat down and I did a quiz with you and I said, what are you supposed to eat for a good, healthy meal?
Right.
I'm sure you could tell me.
Definitely.
Yeah. So it really isn't about that. And that's why mindfulness is really important in eating. And you have to be intentional because, again, we know we should choose healthy foods. We should watch our portions. We need to exercise regularly. But we really get tripped up because we're just mindlessly eating because it's there. This is what Linda said. She says that she mindlessly eats because of availability.
If it's there, I might just eat.
That's right. I just might eat if I see it. And again, when we're talking about weight loss tips for people, one of the things that we always suggest is if you have leftovers, put them in a container where you can't see what they are. So something that isn't see-through.
Right.
If you have like leftover cookies, or you have an event and you have pie or cake, put it in aluminum foil so you don't see it. Because think about it, if you walk in the kitchen and there's that extra pie, I know I have a tendency to take my fork and just take off a little couple of bites of that because I can see it. It's right there. But if I cover it up, or I put it away into a cupboard, or I put it into the freezer, I'm less likely to eat it.
And this is one of those steps you're talking about as far as being intentional goes. And I think that's hand in hand with discipline. Because you asked me a minute ago, you would know how to put together a nutritional meal. And the facts are yes. But do I? A lot of times, no.
Yeah, and the reason for that has a lot to do with a lot of things that people can relate to. Convenience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does take more time to go out and buy fresh ingredients and to cook a meal from scratch than it does to run by a fast food place and just grab something. So convenience is one of the reasons that we eat mindlessly. I think a second one is busyness.
Definitely.
why do people eat in a hurry? You're just shoving food down. You're not thinking about how much you eat. You're eating things you probably wouldn't eat normally.
Right.
I know if I'm in a hurry and I'm going someplace, I will sometimes order the fries. Now, I'm not even that fond of fries, but I just order them because that's what's at the fast food place.
You're right, exactly.
So again, that busyness is one of those things. And then we talked about food being enjoyable and available and comfort, serving the point of comfort. And certainly a number of people eat because of stress.
With about a minute and a half to go before the next break, can you describe the pause principle?
I want to do that at the end because that's going to be in our last segment. We're going to talk about what is the press pause principle and how does that help us with mindless eating. But I want to ask you, do you know what the number one emotion is that people eat out of?
Let's say sadness.
Sadness, what do you think, Matt? You have a guess on that one?
I think it's boredom.
Okay. He's picking his own emotion again.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So I guessed sadness before I did the research on this for the book. I was shocked at the answer because not one person on our social media answered this. But the reason that people eat when they're not hungry, the most typical reason is out of the emotion of happiness.
Happiness, really?
Happiness.
Well, you go to church.
You're happy?
Generally, and there is always food at church.
Probably because it has that celebration aspect to it. And you think about biblically, I mean, they celebrated in the Bible with food and dance and you know, festivals and that kind of thing. So a lot of us eat when we're happy and we want to celebrate. And think about it. We do tend to overeat at those kinds of occasions when we're doing graduations or weddings or birthdays or anything like that.
Well, today on the Dr. Linda Mental Show, we're talking about mindless eating. Why did I just eat that is the question. You can learn more about this in Dr. Mental's book, Press Pause Before You Eat, and her bestseller, Lose It for Life. We'll be right back.
Have you ever thought to yourself, hey, why did I eat that? I wasn't even hungry.
Yeah, sometimes if you're home alone and you're bored and you got nothing going on, you just want to eat an ice cream sandwich even though you just had lunch, and I definitely did that.
We need to talk.
Here we go again.
I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh, something's wrong. This is gonna be a long night.
Oh no, not again. What did I do this time?
We need to talk. Four words that can stop a conversation and grip us with anxiety. Let's be honest. These words usually mean something is wrong, and we are about to go into the world of feelings, a place not everyone likes to visit. If you are smart, you won't begin a conversation with these four words. The phrase, we need to talk, puts most of us on the defensive. We need to talk takes time and energy. It can be exhausting and doesn't always end with a quick fix. But the idea behind we need to talk is important to making our relationships work. It's our cue that something needs to be addressed.
Dr. Linda Mental's latest book, We Need to Talk, is available now in bookstores everywhere or visit her online at drlindahelps.com. drlindahelps.com.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
Have you ever said to yourself, man, I wasn't even hungry. Why did I eat that?
I do it all the time. It's usually because of dessert. You know, I eat a meal and I'm full, but I'm addicted to dessert, so I'm going to eat that slice of red velvet cake whether I'm hungry or not.
Well, you're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and we're welcoming you back. We just heard someone say, Chris, that one of his reasons for mindless eating is because he's addicted to dessert.
Addicted to red velvet cake.
which is probably easy to do now.
Right.
I'm not going to get into that whole addiction thing today on today's show. We might even do a show on that. But mm-hmm. there's a lot of controversy on whether or not you can be addicted to sugar or not. And what the current state is, I think I would be accurately describing this, is that maybe a small percentage of people, but it does feel like addiction to a lot of people.
Definitely.
So we're not going to get into whether that's real addiction or not.
Right.
But certainly dessert is one of those things that a lot of people eat.
You know, we were talking earlier about the emotions that people feel concerning food. And Topher, who has the last part of my name.
There you go.
He
I never knew that that was. I saw that. I had a student one time. He kept saying his name was Topher. And I thought, what a weird, unusual name.
Right.
I had no idea it was a nickname for Christopher.
I've been called Topher before him.
Well, now I know that. But I don't know what in the Midwest. I guess I never heard it. I don't know.
Right. Maybe this is a southern.
It might be. I don't know.
East Coast thing. But Topher observes in his behavior that he eats most mindlessly when watching soccer or news on TV, or when he stays up late working on something. He says he moves and jogs daily, but when he eats good food, food is still love to him.
Yeah.
And that's interesting to say that to him, food is a loving feeling, and it goes back to when his mom would cook for the family. She came from the post-World War II era, where they showered love on everyone who came through the house. So food
you have to eat. You have to eat or you're disrespecting people.
Right.
And I know I kind of grew up in a family like that. We were in the clean plate club in our family where you had to finish everything on your plate because that was what you did. But yeah, for a lot of families, it's like they've labored over all these desserts. Oh, my grandmother could make the best German dessert strudels from scratch. I can remember her stretching the dough. Mom and her sisters could make pies like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to eat after just talking about this. I'm going to have to be intentional about my eating. So
right.
We had one more that I wanted to get in. It was an interesting emotion. Lori said that she eats out of procrastination or just feeling too overwhelmed. When she gets overwhelmed, she grabs food. Or when she doesn't want to do something, she eats to prevent herself from eating. So she's on both ends. When she doesn't want to do something, and then when she's overwhelmed with too much to do, she eats.
In her case, not being able to multitask is good.
Yeah.
Because if she's busy, she's not eating.
That's right. Well, let's give people some help with this before we end our show today, because I want to talk about the press pause, which is the idea behind one of the books I wrote, where the pause principle. So we're going to go through the acronyms of pause, P-A-U-S-E. Okay, we could develop a cheer for that if we want to do P-A-U-S-E.
Right.
Okay, but the first one, P, just really stands for purpose in your heart to slow down.
That's the intentional part you mentioned earlier.
Part of the intentional part is that stop eating in your car, on the run, or anywhere else that isn't at a table. If you really want to stop this, think about food at the table. And that will help you become much more intentional about your eating. Don't rush through meals. Because eating isn't enjoyable when you do that.
You mean table at home.
Table at home. Well, our table at a restaurant or somewhere else,
right.
too. You could do it. But if you think about it, Chris, if we really are intentional with our eating and we don't just grab things on the go, then if we purpose in our heart to slow ourselves down and really eat where we're supposed to be eating, that's going to go a long way to help us.
That's true, because you may be less apt to schedule time to go in a fast food restaurant, but you may go through the drive-thru.
Right.
So if you do make it a table issue,
right?
Good point.
You might do that. Okay, so the A is to attend to how all this rushing is affecting your body and your family. So families that don't take the time to eat meals together are really at more risk for poor nutrition. But also, if you look at that data, it's really interesting that families that don't eat meals together, the children suffer academically, and they're more at risk for delinquency behaviors.
Wow, the table is important
as
we talk about this.
If you want to make one change in your family and you're going to get the most bang for your buck at a change, it would be to reinstitute a family meal. Whether that's breakfast together or dinner together, if you could do that, you're going to improve the nutrition in your family. You're also going to improve your kids' academic scores, and they're going to be less likely to engage in risk behavior. So that's a huge one. All right, so we did P-A. You understand that you're being conditioned to rush and eat whenever you see or whenever you're around food or whenever you feel something. So think about what we call the fourth meal.
That commercial came to my mind last night.
Did it?
At about 11:30 when I should have when I should have been eating fourth meal, apparently.
Right, right. So all those advertisements that you see that one of our social media people talked about that you see reinforce impulsive eating. They want you to eat that fourth meal. They want you to go to, we won't say which restaurant, at the middle of the night and get get some food. So food is convenient. It's available all the time. So slowing down in a culture that reinforces speed and impulsive eating and impatience is doable if you're committed to it. But you have to understand that that's what the culture is telling you to do.
Right. And that gets you into your next point, S, which is strategizing ways to be less impulsive. Are you kidding me? In the world we live in, how do you do that?
I know. I know. So one of the things I tell people is imagine your life without all the rushing. What would it look like? And imagine just sitting down and leisurely having a meal and enjoying your family or enjoying time and really focusing on what you're doing at the moment.
Our society does not prioritize that at all.
I know. That's why we have to strategize how to do it. So one of the things I tell people is to develop an eating space that's enjoyable. So take the time to set the table. Put a little flower out. Cut something from your garden. Put it on the table. Use a nice napkin. Sit down and actually make it an inviting space and a place where you're going to have some kind of enjoyment during it. Take time for the meals. And decide if your schedule is so important that you have to rush through life, if it's hurting your health, if it's not giving you peace of mind. It really is a matter of practicing restraint.
That's the put the fork down method.
Right. And so there's so much research I could quote in this, because one of the things that we know is that after you've had two bites of a dessert, you've really gotten all the enjoyment. I love it. The researcher's name is Dr. Linda Bacon. That's her name. She loved that name for researching food.
You leave bacon out of this.
Right, right. Somehow bacon is in there, even with this. But what she found out is that you really get the full satisfaction of that food, two bites in. So think if you could have a dessert and you could take two bites and you could put down your fork and you could practice some kind of restraint with that. Just because it's there doesn't mean you have to eat it. That would go a long way.
Dr. Linda, we've got 30 seconds to the show.
Oh, my goodness, we didn't get to the E.
One more point. Execute the changes.
Yeah, we got to slow down, plan for family meals. Don't tell me you can't. I'm a living example. I use a crock pot when I'm at work so I can have a good family meal. Don't multitask by eating. And remember that a fruit of the spirit is self-control and patience is a virtue. Well, that's all we have. So we're going to have to wrap it up. Maybe we'll do some more on this later. Many thanks to our producer, Matt Garcia, our man on the street, Andrew Claudio, and my co-host, Chris Weigel. From all of us here at Faith Radio, talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Dr. Linda Mintel Show is a production of WWMC Radio, Lynchburg, Virginia.